I want you to think about the thirstiest, the most thirsty that you've ever been. So maybe you've been really thirsty, or you really wanted a drink, or you've been really sweaty. Have you ever gotten so thirsty that you stopped sweating? And you get that pounding headache, your first kind of real sign of dehydration. Have you ever been so thirsty your skin feels hot? Your tongue feels like gigantic. Your spit gets like slimy and gross, like really thick. I don't know if you've been that thirsty. I have been that thirsty before. And if you've ever been super thirsty, then if you came to a bottle of water like this, you would drink the whole thing and then you would look for more, right? I mean, that's not very much. But today, on a day when it's not very hot outside and we still have the air, you know, we got the air conditioning going on in here, if I were to hand you all a bottle of water, what we would find at the end of service was a whole bunch of bottles of water with like only this much drink in them, you know, and they'd be left everywhere. Because right now, you're not very thirsty. You might take a couple sips and that'd be it. We're about to read a passage. And Jesus is going to be talking specifically to thirsty people, to people who know they have a big need. And to get what Jesus has for us today, we've got to start with those two words of I need. And if we don't start there, then we're not going to get to the message he has for us, okay? So I want to lead us in prayer. We want to ask Jesus to come and really plant something in our hearts today, okay? Let's pray. Jesus, show us what it means to be thirsty for you. And Jesus, put in our heart what it means to really believe in you. This is what we're asking of you today. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So that's what our sermon's about. It's about those two things. It's about being thirsty, needing to change, and it's about really believing in Jesus. So where I'm getting those two ideas from is from a passage of scripture in John chapter 7. And it's this great chapter, but I want to focus in on just a couple verses in it, okay? So John 7, verse 37. Jesus stands up in this large crowd and he says, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink." So the verse we're about to get to, I want you to know he's talking to people who want a change. In first service, when Shelley was giving her testimony, she just happened to say how thirsty she was. She didn't even know we were talking about this specifically. But she said she just kept wanting more and more and more of God. She didn't just take a sip and say, like, oh, that's good. So what does Jesus say? Anybody who's thirsty, come to me and drink. What's he promise? He says, whoever believes in me, as scriptures have said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. The next verse, we're not going to read, but it talks about that rivers of living water. That's his Holy Spirit. That's God inside of us, but he describes it as a river. And if you've ever been crazy thirsty and overheated, you don't want a little bottle of water. What you really want is like a whole river. Like you want something you can jump into when you're that thirsty. And that's what Jesus offers to us. But a lot of us, we show up to church and we keep coming and sipping over and over and over. And then we wonder, like, yeah, our life's just, you know. It's because we're just taking these little tiny bits and thinking that's going to be enough for us. So today I want to take you through a story of my life that spans about 5 years from when I'm pretty young. We start the story about like 10 or 11. And then move on through to where I'm about 15. And the reason I want to bring up all these random stories from my youth is I want to describe what I think the truths are that we see here, because I think a lot of us could shake our heads and say yes to them, but I don't think we really know them in our hearts. So if you're a note taker, I see some of you guys, Charles, on the front row with notes. What you're looking for as you take notes today is not the details of my story, but have you experienced some of those same things yourself? Like, have you done some of the same missteps that I did, even if the details are different, okay? So take you back to the worst year of my life. That's how lots of good stories maybe start. The worst year of Jake Taylor's life, up to now at least, hopefully ever, is my sixth grade year. And so a lot of us, probably the worst year of our life was around 12-ish or so, probably. Some sort of awkward year in there. And for me, I went to a new school, and all the people I knew were not in any of my classes, and so I was shy, and all my clothing wasn't cool, and whatever else, you know, and so, like, I just got into this rut of super lonely, had no friends, stayed lonely with no friends all year, and hated that year. And I'm a thinker, though, so, like, that summer, but after sixth grade, I decided, like, I'm not going to let that happen again. And so I was so dissatisfied with my life, I said, I'm going to make a change. So my theory, though, at the time, this is how, you know, 11-year-old Jake's brain worked, is like, what do I need to do? So I knew I was too shy. I needed to force myself to be more outgoing. But I also knew, like, all my clothes were lame. And I thought, like, so I got to change that. And I didn't have, I mean, I was a kid, but my family didn't have a ton of money. And so I remember thinking, like, I got to get 10 shirts because that's enough to rotate them around and not, you know, be wearing the same shirt every day. So I got 10 shirts. I got a pair of jeans and a pair of, like, corduroys. This is back then. Yeah, exactly. So, and I made sure they're very different because I was just going to be rotating those two pairs of pants. So it was like, at least they look different. And I remember, like, the very first day of school, like, all psyched up to, like, be a different person. And the thing that was most important to me in my life was being accepted, like, pleasing other people. I wanted to make a few friends, and when I went into a class, when I sat at lunch, when I talked to people, when I made fun of people, it was all about trying to be accepted. That was the thing that drove my actions. Now, if you care, the thing you care the most about is impressing middle schoolers, I mean, you could think about where does that lead you as a person, like, not all good moral decisions, obviously, and just some jerky things. So I was thinking over my head, I have lots of stupid stories I could tell, but one that I think just points out, like, what just a crud I was, like, at that stage. I had a few friends sitting with me at lunch this one semester, and one of them I thought was pretty cool, but he had this other friend that he'd had forever that I thought was this really lame person. You know, he looked, you know, not cool and didn't act cool. And I tried to, like, wedge them apart because I wanted to keep my cool friend and, like, ditch this other guy. And, like, that's the type of person that I was. Like, so that's... Like, you think this stuff about yourself, and you're like, man, what a jerk was I, like, a little punk, you know? Totally a little punk, like, I was not tough at all or anything, you know? So, I mean, like, so that's seventh grade Jake. Well, here's something else I think is important for people that have been in this room for maybe multiple years. So I was the type of person back then of, when I was a little kid, I'd had a really powerful experience with Jesus, and, like, I'd asked for forgiveness for stuff I was guilty about. The Holy Spirit had come into my life. He had changed me. Like, I had had some sin stuff that, like, he had set me free from. I had a real conversion with Jesus years before that. But by the time I got into middle school, I also had these kind of good practices. I went to church 2 times a week. I went to lots of church activities. I prayed every day. I read my Bible every day. I mean, that... I was a middle schooler, and if I were guessing, all through middle school, those 3 years, I probably read my Bible every single day of all 3 of those years. So I was doing some of these Christian habits, but I didn't have anything of what this verse is talking about going on in my life. Because what this verse is talking about, rivers of living water flowing out of you, you should be full of the Holy Spirit, which Galatians tells us is brings things like love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. I didn't have joy in my life. Also, flowing from within you, a river, if you're in a desert and then suddenly there's a river, like, it's not a desert anymore. Like, just because there's a river there, like, it changes that area. And if you fit this verse, then people around you should be changing for the better. Middle school Jake, like, nobody changed for the better by hanging around with me, you know? So, most people, I mean, if you knew me back then, you would thought, like, you're a pretty nice kid. It's not like I was this, like, horrible, terrible person on the outside. And kind of like Rixie was sharing last week, Rixie was here at Maywood, and she had a good facade going. People thought she was nice and good. And most people would have thought, like, Jake is nice and good. But on the inside, like, I was super hollow. So, 7th and 8th grade, like, I achieved my goal of trying to please other people and make some friends. But if you've ever lived for a long period of your life trying to please other people, like, you know where that takes you. Like, it doesn't satisfy you at all. So I became more and more unhappy, even as it looked like I was becoming more socially whatever. So by the time I get to the end of 8th grade, like, I have started to, like, hate my life, which sounds weird because, like, I had it a lot better than a lot of people in the world. You know, I had people that cared about me, had a good family, had food, stuff like that. But I hated my life. And if you're following something today that leads you to that sort of dark place, then you know what I'm talking about. And maybe for you it's not, oh, I'm following trying to make friends, but maybe you're trying to please people in some other way or intimidate people. Or maybe your pride drives you, and that's the thing you're thinking about satisfying. Or maybe it's your anger or your addiction. But if you've been chasing after something and it's left you empty, then maybe, like me, you've gotten to the spot where you're thirsty. Where you say, I want to change. And the great thing about being thirsty is that's who Jesus is talking to in this passage. Like, Jesus says, if you've gone down some other road long enough to realize you don't want to be going that way, then you're ready for Jesus. If you're here today and you're like, I'm doing okay, then you're not ready. So what did I do? Well, I was a thinker. After 8th grade, that summer, I didn't just try to go buy 10 more shirts or something to, like, fix my life that way. But I had this little drawer I can remember in my room back then, and it had a notebook in it. And I remember writing in that notebook, the first page of that notebook, this prayer, and then getting that out every single day and praying it all through that summer. And I couldn't find that notebook or get that for you guys today. I would have put a picture of it up. But it was something along the lines of, like, Jesus, I don't know how to do this. Like, show me how to live my life. Like, I'm not doing it right. So I prayed that every day. And some of us like to think, like, oh, man, if you just say the right thing to God for 10 seconds, like, everything will, the clouds will part and all the answers will come. Especially if you're a middle schooler, like, what does God expect from some middle schooler? You know, like, God oftentimes doesn't do the things the way we would do them. So, like, God left me thirsty. Didn't leave me thirsty, but God let that thirst just stay. He left me in that spot of being thirsty for quite a while. So for weeks, it turned into months, I'm praying that every day, and I'm not figuring it out. So the story doesn't end there, though. I went to youth camp that summer. Our youth are about to go to camp here in 3 or 4 weeks, and I don't remember what the speaker talked about. I don't remember what the worship was about. But I remember I got away by myself at one point, and I was writing in this notebook, and I started making this list. And this isn't an actual picture of it, but I started making this list about my life and the things that were important to me. And I remember thinking, like, okay, the right answer for what should be most important to me, like, what should be number one? And I had the list numbered. I was like, God should be at the top of the list. That's the right answer. You know, I was like a good at my homework type of kid, you know? So I was like, okay, that's the right answer. God's on the top. And I start listing all this other stuff. I wish I could find that just because it would be funny to see the stuff that eighth grade Jake thought was really important. But I list out all this stuff. I'm sure it was things like my soccer, you know, team and stupid stuff like that and friends or whatever. And listing all these different things. And if you pray for a long time for something, then for me anyways, typically the answer comes in a flash. Even though you might be praying for a long time, the answer like hit me. So I've been praying all summer about like, God, show me how to live my life right. As I'm making this list, like it's like, boom, there's this thought that just like hits me in my heart. So that thought was, I'm writing this long list and God tells me, Jake, I don't want to be number one on your list. Jake, I don't want to be number one on your list. So that didn't really make sense to me right at first, and then it clicked in my heart. And it's really hard to get this across to where it'll click for you guys in your heart. What God wanted was a whole sheet of paper. Like, he didn't want anything else on there. He just wanted him. When you read, Jesus talks about this. He says, what's the greatest commandment? It's to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. When he says all there, that's not a figure of speech. Like, that's what he means. It means all that you have. A lot of us, we want to have this long list, and we say, God, I'll give you veto power. I'll let you say, no, you can't do that, or whatever. But I still want these little corners of my life. I still want my pieces of, you know, these other things. And so we come to God with on condition. God, I'll give you some of my life, but I'm going to give a lot of my heart to my family. I'm going to give a lot of my heart to my work or my school or whatever. And God says that's not how it works. So that clicked for me. Like, Jesus wanted it all, and if I was going to have any love for my parents or any love for soccer or any love for whatever, it was going to have to come through Jesus. I was going to have to hand it over to Jesus, and then Jesus was going to get to dole it out however he wanted to. I didn't get to come with reservations. Now, for some of you, you might be like, that's not a big deal. Or for some of you might be like, oh yeah, of course. I think that's what belief that Jesus is talking about in the passage we're reading, the belief that unlocks a river of new life in you, like that's what he's talking about. Like, come to me and say, I'm worth all of you. Come to me and believe in me enough that you hand over all the keys to your life. So it's easy to say that, to say, oh, follow Jesus with everything. What does it look like? So again, not that Jake is perfect or something, but it drastically different, like high school Jake from middle school Jake. So what were the differences? Well, I went back that next year to school, and I'm now talking to God throughout the day, looking for things for him to do, like giving myself to him. And whereas I was reading the Bible as a middle schooler because it was a duty, so it's like, what do? I read the Bible each day. As a high schooler, I started to read the Bible because I believed that God was real and was going to say things to me for that day. If you start reading the Bible that sort of way, it becomes that sort of tool in your life. Like, God really will start saying stuff about, like, Jake, treat this person differently. Do this for this teacher. Do this for this kid. You start reading the Bible, like, apologize to this person. Like, be honest to this person. You start seeing all sorts of stuff come off the page that God wants you to do. And all sorts of promises that are real. And you start not just saying like, oh, I hope someday God does these things for me. But you start taking steps of like, I believe that God's going to be there to catch me when I step off of this thing because of what I just read. So what sort of things start to happen? Well, I can remember the first day of school, my sophomore year, just to get a particular story in. was in a Western Civ class, and it's the first day of school, and it's one of those lame classes where the teacher says at the beginning of the day, we're going to go around and introduce ourselves and tell us what you did this summer, which is like, oh, man. So after like three or four people, everyone's like checked out. We got to sit through like 45 minutes of stupid things, you know, that people are talking about. So people are talking. I'm in the very back. So by the time it gets to me, everyone's bored out of their mind. But I have a Bible with me, and the best thing that happened to me that summer, I can't remember the details of it anymore, but I remember it was in the book of Philippians. I open up the book of Philippians, I read a few verses from it, and I start talking about how Jesus had done this cool thing in my life. I honestly can't remember the details now of what it was. But I start talking about, like, this happened this summer, and blah, 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 blah. As I look around, like, whereas most of the kids were just phased out before I started talking, like, everybody in the room is looking at me, and like literally like a few people's like mouths are open. I don't think people, it's like not normal to open up a Bible at Blue Springs South where I was at and just start talking about like how cool God is that he did this thing in your life. So like shocked several people. And after class, I can remember these two girls came up to me and they were Christians, but they were more timid and they were really encouraged to be more bold because of that. And I can remember heading to that same Western Civ class, this was a while later, on this like crazy joy high of having, I'd led one of my friends at lunch like to become a Christian. Like I'd talked through things with him about how to become a Christian, and he'd accepted Jesus and was changing. And so those aren't big deals. It's not like, oh, Jake, you're a good person or something, but it's, I was full of joy and the people around me were changing. That's what it looks like to have a river of living water flowing inside of you. And it's not, it's going to look different in a high school than it's going to look at your work or in your house. But the questions I have for you today is, if you're really thirsty for Jesus, if you really believe Jesus is who he says he is, then are you full of joy? Because if you're stressed out and tired and sad, I question whether you're really thirsty for Jesus and you really believe all that Jesus says. And if you look around in the last 6 months, you can't point to people who are close in proximity to you whose lives are refreshed or closer to God because of you or what God's done through you, then I question if those living waters are flowing through you. When I was a middle schooler, it wasn't that I was this terrible, horrible person. It wasn't that I didn't believe the facts about Jesus. It wasn't that I was mostly a nice guy. But when push came to shove, my life wasn't about Jesus. When push came to shove, I had other priorities. If you want that living water we've been talking about flowing through you, then you've got to say, Jesus, here's all of me. Without reservations. I'm going to give it all to you, and I'm going to believe all that you tell me. So when you tell me I have enough time to help somebody else, I'm going to do it. When you tell me I need to go have a conversation with someone and my pride says no, I'm going to say my pride can shove it, you know, and like I'm going to go do this thing. We've done this whole series, and it's led up to this idea of we want God's Holy Spirit to flow through you. It's the offer that Jesus gives us all, but it comes down to, like, do you really want it? And do you really believe it's true? Because if you really believe it's true, you can't help but act on it. Shelley, as I was talking to her this morning in one of the pews out here before she gave her testimony, she was talking about all these different ways she started to obey Jesus. So obedience comes out of the joy that she has, and the joy comes out of the obedience she does. Like, it all fits together. We started that first thought of, are you thirsty? And if you're going to do this idea of make Jesus your whole list, you got to get in touch with that thirst and say, I really do want a different life. This is the last Sunday in this series, but it's not the last moment of the series. Wednesday night, Thursday morning, our small groups are beginning together, You can be around a group of other people. You can talk about how do we get this living water flowing out of us to other people. You can talk about, like, how thirsty are you really? How much do you really believe? And how do your actions show that? I want to finish this up today with a real specific blessing. Whether you can be at small groups or not, my hope for you today is that you wouldn't try to do this alone, but you would find someone else and have a conversation with them about, here's what I'm thirsty for in my life. Here's what I need different. And here's what I believe about Jesus. And you can have that conversation together. So let me pray. Jesus, I pray for each person in this room. I pray that you would bless them with somebody else who is thirsty for you, someone they can talk to. Help them to have the courage to start the conversation. And I pray when they talk that your Holy Spirit would stir up the belief that will change their lives. It's in your name we pray. Amen.